This is the Alaska Academy for Drug Abuse Prevention, located in beautiful downtown Tennessee Springs, Alaska, deep in the heart of the Tongass National Forest. Today, our podcast, A Voice from the Wilderness, will be discussing the rise of fentanyl in the Juneau community, all of Southeast Alaska, and beyond. I am Tuck Harry, along with my co-host, JT Collins. Our guest for the podcast today is Juneau Police Department Chief Ed Mercer. This being a very busy time of the year for the department, we want to thank Ed for being here. I want to start today by reading a short article that caught my eye from the Seattle Times newspaper, and then we will comment on it. The title of the article was How a Drug Transaction on Snapchat Turned Deadly for an Eagle Scout. When the father opened the door to Zach's bedroom, the boy seemed asleep at his desk, still wearing plaid pajama bottoms and a yellow t-shirt. His head rested in the crook of his left arm, near his soccer trophies and the computer where he played Minecraft with friends. As I got within 2 feet of him, I didn't feel what I would normally feel, he said. When you approach a dead body, there is a void. I've never sensed that before. That's when my world was destroyed. Once paramedics arrived at the home in Rockland, California, they found the frantic father, and it was too late to save Zach, a high school senior who had no history of using drugs. First responders persuaded the family to wait in the front yard where they examined Zach's bedroom for clues of what might have happened. Standing outside, Zach's mother, Laura, heard someone say that her son's death might have been caused by fentanyl. I was like, what is that? How would my kid get it? I don't understand it, what you're telling me now. From there, investigators were able to piece together a lethal transaction, which was arranged on Snapchat. The dealer had sold Zach two, maybe three pills that were supposed to be Percocet. The one that killed him was likely the second one he took. Weeks later, the toxicology results confirmed it. Zach had died of a fentanyl overdose. There is no trace of Percocet in his system. Have you seen any cases like this in the Juneau area?
Well, unfortunately, that particular story certainly hits close to home. I mean, I know that there's many families around the country, including in the state of Alaska and in the community of Juneau, that have lost a loved one to an overdose and unfortunately to an unexpected overdose, such as the story you told about. So we have seen cases like this in Juneau where a young person is found in the same condition that you talked about and ultimately overdosed on fentanyl.
JT, you got any comments about that?
The social media aspect of it is scary.
Yeah.
It just is. It's probably how, how a lot of that gets around these days.
Yeah, for sure. Ed, the DARE program, I want to talk a little bit about that and the Juneau Police Department and what you guys have done with that. DARE is an acronym for Drug Abuse Resistance Education, as based on prevention and working in the school system. After reviewing the DARE program on the JPD website, we found it lists some great information and we're impressed with both the contact and your personnel. Our question to you, is the DARE program effective and are we saving lives in teaching it?
Good question, Ty. I'd like to think that any education, whether it be young minds, such as the fifth grade curriculum for the DARE program, or even adults when we're talking about the dangers of using drugs and whatnot, I would like to think that the DARE program is effective. The unfortunate thing about this is that we don't have a means or a way to be able to track the effectiveness of the DARE program, because what a young mind is taught is to make choices and make good choices and understand the dangers of using drugs. And hopefully they carry on that education and wisdom as they grow older and or they're exposed to drugs. So I believe it's an effective program. Ever since I've been with the Juneau Police Department, it has been instituted as a community outreach program, one of a few that we do within our community. And the mere fact that on two parts, one, education on DARE is just a part of that, but also having exposure to face-to-face interaction with a police officer, a school resource officer that's going to be in the school, that maybe they don't have that type of contact. So we build that rapport with those children all through the school district so that they know they have somebody they come to and ask questions about.
Yeah, it seems like you really have an excellent officer working the program and just seeing what reading and listening on the KTTO program. It's really important to have that key personnel person be so open and honest. And it seems like your officers in that position.
Absolutely. The selection of putting who we put into those programs is really important. They have to have personality to be able to interact with young minds and with administrators for the school as far as trying to solve problems or address problems that they're seeing in the school. Fortunately for the Juneau Police Department, come this new year, we're actually assigning another school resource officer that will help the individual school resource officer that's currently assigned right now. So I think that's very important, especially in this day and age with a bunch of things going on in schools, not just drugs, but the threat of harm that we're seeing across the country in classrooms across the country. And fortunately, knock on wood, not so much in Alaska, but we're moving that direction.
Ed, the internet and social media are playing a big part in fentanyl distribution. Are drugs like opioids and fentanyl being bought on the internet, delivered to Juneau by mail, and then sold on social media?
Well, without going into too much detail of what we know, obviously in Southeast Alaska and many parts of Alaska, we're limited in how anything gets into our communities. And drugs coming in through the mail is one of the areas that occurs. But we also know that people carry those drugs into our community through the airlines or coming up on the ferries and whatnot. So if there's will, there's a way. It's a very lucrative business, especially up in Alaska, where a gram of methamphetamine in the lower 48 may be selling for like $25. It's selling for over $100 or $100+ in Alaska. So mail is just one way that drugs come in to the communities around Alaska.
Are you seeing any instances or heard of any situations where drugs are being sold on social media like Snapchat and Twitter and any of the other platforms?
Sure. I mean, we do get information. Fortunately, we work with our federal and state partners and we get information of maybe somebody trying to sell illicit drugs online. But typically, it's not that obvious. I mean, we have our means and our ways of trying to track illicit sales of drugs. And a lot of times it comes down to either shipping it through the mail or somebody carrying the drugs into the community. And obviously we have several ways, air and boats that come into all of our Southeast communities. That's one way of getting stuff into those communities.
Right. So several different options on that end of it, ports specifically too.
One would think, you know, like in the lower 48 where you have all the road systems where you're getting mass shipments of drugs going across to hub areas and then being distributed out to all these outlying communities, that would be more difficult. But again, Alaska, they find their ways of getting drugs into our state, and there's no shortage of them always trying to find ways to do that.
Symptoms of opioid overdose are shallow and difficult breathing and heartbeat irregularity. The quickest way to stop an overdose is to supply Narcan, a nasal spray, or a Narcan EpiPen. Ed, are all your officers trained in administering Narcan, and do they all carry a kit?
They do. We've been carrying Narcan for, I believe, at least 5 or 6 years. And there have been cases where the officer, matter of fact, there was a recent case where one of our officers was out in the field, came across an unresponsive individual that was overdosing, hit him with 2 dosages of Narcan, brought the person back, and saved that person's life. So all of our officers have been trained in that. You're seeing that more and more across the state of Alaska where police officers are carrying Narcan, not only just for the mere fact of saving an individual who overdosed on it, but there's risk with the police officer out there being exposed to it accidentally also. And fentanyl is pretty dangerous. So having it on their person and having it with their fellow officer is really important.
Yeah, that's extremely important. And basically, if somebody is overdosing on the street, the first person that you could go to would be a police officer to get an Narcan kit and save somebody's life. So I think it's important that people know that you can immediately get a hold of an officer and you can reverse a Narcan overdose in 15 to 20 seconds with a Narcan dose.
Yeah.
So you guys are really the first responder in that case.
We are. In Juneau, our communication center is housed right in the Juneau Police Department, but we do provide our communications to our counterparts, our fire department. So they'll be dispatched to, you know, a presumed or a potential overdose. But you're absolutely right, Tuck. The officer on the street is probably going to get there quicker than most because they're out on patrol, or they might be working in that particular beat in that area of the community where they're able to respond a little bit faster. So having Narcan on them to be able to deploy as needed has saved lives.
Absolutely. What happens when Narcan is applied by a police officer and the person is revived? Are they given a referral for help?
Obviously, afterwards, they are handed off to the fire department, they're transported to the hospital, they're evaluated. And Juneau has programs as far as referring individuals to it. What I have seen in my 30 years of law enforcement, unfortunately, it doesn't matter if we even offer those to the individual. It takes the individual themselves to come to that conclusion that they want to go seek help. There is help that is available. I think the state in general is working on that side of things as far as trying to drug treatment centers that they can send people off. Even though it does exist in our state, I think we need more of them so that we can get people in those circumstances drug treatment if they so desire.
Yeah, that's an extremely important thing, you know, to just pursue that and get people in. And, you know, I don't know that enough follow-up is done on that, but follow-up is really important too, and making sure that somebody gets to where they need to be to get help. Just finally here at the Alaska Academy for Drug Abuse Prevention, Ed, we're going to propose a two-day fentanyl symposium open to the public for the Juneau and the Southeast area. Sometime early next year, bringing together police, fire departments, hospitals, both Search and Bartlett, and all social service agencies dealing with drug issues to present an overall view of the fentanyl problem and discussion on what can be done. Would you be in favor of this?
Education is always good. And if you get the audience who want to learn more about it and help out with it, is always good. I mean, force multipliers when it comes to getting other people involved so that they could help with this problem as far as what we're seeing with fentanyl. The synthetic drugs, it's just amazing. I mean, I worked the drug unit some 15, 16 years ago, and we were dealing specifically with Oxycontins and all pills instead of synthetic. We saw the increase in usage of that, where they're stepping away from heroin use. And there's always going to be some drug out there that's going to be very dangerous to our communities. And the more people that gets educated and up to date, up to speed on what they could do to help is really good.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Ed. You know, we're right here at the end, and we just want to thank you for being with us today and providing your insights into what's going on. Do you have anything else that you would like to say finally?
The state of Alaska was recognized as a high-intensity drug trafficking area, and Juneau is one of the three initiatives in the state of Alaska that is identified as leading the cause on drug investigations. At the Juneau Police Department, we head that up. We have a commander who oversees the drug unit. We work with our federal, state, and other local jurisdictions within our area. I think it's beneficial. It costs money to go out. It costs a lot of money to go out and do these drug investigations, try to slow down illicit drugs coming into our community. But I recognize that that's just only a part of it. I always tell people when I talk in community groups that even though we have arrest authorities to go out and do things, the end goal is really not to put people in jail. That's not going to help them. They're just going to end up back out in the street, and they're going to be doing what they do. We need to educate them, and we need to get them treatment, those types of things. But you have to have hand-in-hand both of them to work as far as it goes. So I think we're in a really good spot since we've been identified. What HIDA does, it's a national initiative program for law enforcement to work together. It provides operational funds, training funds. It even has a segment in there for preventiveness as far as it goes, where they go out into communities and work with communities, try to figure out and strategize what can we do to, even if it's just one person who is using illegal drugs that hits rock bottom, that decides, okay, this is not working for me, to go get them help. That's a win. Because we're seeing an increase in these overdoses with this fentanyl. This fentanyl is probably the biggest threat in our country when it comes to illicit drugs as we speak, just simply because the intent, it may not be there for the person that accidentally overdoses on it. It used to be 4 out of 10 synthetic drugs were tainted with fentanyl. Now it's increased to 6 out of 10 pills. So we're seeing that not only coming into Alaska, but we're seeing it around the country. So this problem's not going to go away anytime soon, and anything we could do to learn more about it and try to combat it is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you, Ed, for being with us today on our podcast. You've been a very informative source. We certainly appreciate the efforts of the Juneau Police Department and working in all different aspects that you have in trying to curb the fentanyl and opioid crisis here in this area. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tuck. I appreciate the invite. And as always, it's always good to talk with you, and good luck with this. I think it's great that you guys are looking broadly and trying to involve other people around the region, other police officers, all the stakeholders involved with this and getting us together to try to figure out things. And any help is always a good thing. And like I said, I'll go back to the force multiplier, people wanting to help out and address these type of concerns.
Great. We'll be contacting you and seeing if we can get this program together here in probably the first part of next year.
All right. Well, we'll be in contact there. Yep. You guys have a good evening.
Okay. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah.
Take care.